All right, Scott Luton, live with you here once again on Supply Chain Now Radio. Welcome to the show. This is probably the quietest it's been in here this evening. We're broadcasting live from the 2019 AME Lean Summit here in Atlanta. We're proud to be a media partner and sponsor of the event, where we have been interviewing a variety of participants, manufacturing leaders, change agents, exhibitors, you name it. Friendly reminder, you can find our Supply Chain Now Radio replays on a variety of channels, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and, of course, our friends over at Business Radio X. As always, we'd love to have you subscribe so you don't miss anything. So let's welcome today's, this session's featured guest. This is going to be a pretty special session. You don't normally get a chance to have both keynotes sit with you from the Lean Summit, and that's exactly what we have here today. We've got Crystal Davis, the Lean Coach. Good afternoon, Crystal.
Good afternoon, Scott. Thank
you. So glad that you are here.
Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned earlier, your ears probably have been burning because we have been touting the Lean Summit for probably 3 months now.
Awesome.
And, of course, a lot of folks are here to see our keynotes.
Yes.
And joining Crystal is Mark Braun, who is president of Cambridge Engineering in St. Louis, Missouri, and he's also a member, an AME board member.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
Mark,
glad to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. All right, so we've got a really neat interview lined up, and really looking forward to hearing both of your perspective on a couple different things. But before we get into all that, can you give us a little bit of background and tell us about yourself? And let's start with Crystal.
Awesome. So thanks again for having me. So just a little bit about myself. I have been practicing lean for a little over 22 years, started in the automotive industry and then moved to the beverage industry and then to the life science industry before branching out and taking that big leap of faith.
I would say it is a leap of faith.
What
Huge.
A leap.
Absolutely.
Courageous.
And a lot of different sectors. So you can speak a variety of different languages.
Yes, I can speak all the language from high volume manufacturing to continuous flow manufacturing.
Love it.
To low volume, high mix manufacturing, supply chain, et cetera, et cetera. And
love
et cetera.
It. So before we get Mark to weigh in here, one quick question. Every sector thinks that they are special.
Mm-hmm.
And
they are.
And you're right. All of them are special.
You got to love it.
But, I mean, in your experience, do you see a lot of the common people process technology regardless of what sector you're in? Speak to that for a second, if you would.
Absolutely. So I do see commonalities across sectors, across industries, whether it's assembly manufacturing or whether it's continuous flow, whether it's fabrication manufacturing. And what I try to explain to people is that their product and service, right, are unique, and they come with some unique challenges, but thinking is always required.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thinking is always required.
I love that, too. I'm going to steal that. That's going to be a T-shirt. I'll give you some royalties.
All right.
All right. Same question to you, Mark. Give our listeners a sense of where you've been and a little about yourself.
Yeah. Well, I'm a family dad first and a husband to one beautiful woman, a father to three. I think in the professional world, my professional life started as a chemical engineer for Dow Chemical. And at that point in time, what was interesting, I didn't know anything about lean, but I started reading about Kaizen, and Flight of the Buffalo was the first book that my boss handed me. And then he started teaching me about Deming, and all it was at that point in time in chemical processing was a continuous operation, and it was just about variability reduction and how do you get all of that done. Mm. But what was funny is all the statistics, and it didn't matter. We had it was a union plant, and we had 28-year veterans working all across the plant. And no matter what, it had to be done. Change had to be done through and with people. Mm. And so I had to learn as an engineer that my ideas didn't matter at all if I didn't know and understand and care about the ideas of the people. Mm. And so that's been consistent over the last 25-plus years. And you can say it in lean, you can say whatever words you want, but it has to be about the people. Always has.
Now, do you help other engineers see the light?
I do. I actually have a very special place in my heart for other engineers because I think that they've got so many engines running up there, so much brain power, and their problem solving is really, really fine-tuned, but their people skills are just often miserable. Mm. And if they can't figure that out early in their career, they'll never make it. And so I just I love to help them see that light early
on. And I'm just picking on engineers. Engineers give me a hard time about my inadequate math skills. So, you know, it's a good give and take.
It is.
All right. So let's shift gears a little bit. Thanks for sharing, you know, some of your personal journeys there. So, Crystal, let's go back to you. So what do you do in your current role?
So in my current role, I serve, again, as a lean practitioner, but also as a leadership development coach for my company, The Lean Coach, Inc. And my main role is CEO and really helping to connect and identify where I can add value to businesses. And as Mark mentioned, ultimately it comes down to the people and the culture of the organization and helping them close the gap on what, you know, what those where they want to be,
sure,
right, their desired state. And so, yeah, that's my current role.
And one quick follow-up question to that, the Lean Coach, so consulting, hands-on consulting, it sounds like.
Hands-on consulting.
Training workshops.
Training workshops.
Obviously speaking.
Speaking, and also I find a lot of pleasure in helping the companies to develop a strategy that includes talent development, that includes, you know, all of the new aspects of digitization.
I did it all the time. That's right.
I knew it was going to come out.
It's Monday, 7:30 on a Monday. It's understood.
And to really keep things very basic and simple in terms of how it relates to continuous improvement.
Amen, Crystal. I think in this day and age, we got all this noise and data coming at us. If we can keep the simple things simple and let the complex things be complex, I love
your perspective.
The
world is complex enough, right?
Amen. And thinking is required, though.
And
so
thinking is required.
Regardless how simple
it's going
to be.
No matter what.
That's right. So, Mark, same questions for you. So what do you do in your current role as it relates to Cambridge Engineering?
Yeah, so my current role, I've been with Cambridge for 11 years, but my current role serves as the president of Cambridge. And we've got about 140 families and honored to serve them. I would actually serve in that culture in any of the roles that they have. But it is a unique role, so I'm having to learn that one for the first time over the last 3 years and just being able to help them, encourage them, and to help them grow into everything they were created to be.
Love it. And I always enjoy it when people refer to their workforce in terms of families. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's real. I mean, it's a family-owned business, second generation, and so it was what attracted me into it. And I think it's just it's a powerful concept of we're all in this together.
That's right.
And let's move all at the same time.
Yeah, along those same lines, when I walk into plants and a lot of them have a different saying on it, but they have the bulletin boards with pictures of families, and you know, one of the common phrases is this is why safety is important to me. And it's got walls of families and kids and stuff. It's really neat. And so, tell us more about Cambridge Engineering. What does that organization do?
Yeah, so we help leaders create comfortable working environments for their people. We do that if they're too cold, we make them warmer, and if they're too hot, we do it and make them cooler. We do that in the HVAC world, so we're a manufacturer of heavy industrial HVAC equipment.
Okay. They're in the Midwest, close to the St. Louis area. Are
Correct.
You actually in St. Louis?
So about 20 miles outside in Chesterfield.
Okay. Yeah. Chesterfield, Missouri. Big Cards fan?
We are a big Cards fan. Okay. You cannot be from St. Louis. I mean, literally, that Cards fan thing goes out all the way. I mean, seven states wide. It's everywhere you can find Cardinals fans.
Well, now, Crystal, same question for you. What sport are you passionate about?
So I'm actually very passionate about football.
Okay.
And particularly SEC football.
Okay.
So I'm a Southerner, and I live here in Atlanta, and I went to Mississippi State University, and college football is where it's at.
I'm with you.
Love the Cardinals, though.
As long as it's okay. We can be
special. They're leading the division, if I'm not mistaken.
They keep on doing it.
Yeah. Good team. All right. And really, a really neat franchise.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
great leadership. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So shifting gears again, we could talk baseball, being a big Braves fan for forever. We got a revolution coming here.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about how you're plugged into the AME or its programming. Obviously, both of y'all are keynotes.
We are.
And Mark, you serve on that. What board of the AME do you serve on?
So I'm a director at large on the AME board, just helping set direction and clarify vision for where AME is going in the future.
Okay. And Crystal, beyond your keynote here, any other roles or potential roles with AME?
Absolutely. So I actually am re-entering the AME membership this year. I was a member when I first came out of college a long, long, long time ago.
2 years ago.
Long, long, long time ago. So it's a great association. And tonight was just remarkable. The reception was awesome. So kudos to the board and the planning committee.
Agreed.
Yeah, it was very nice.
What a great way to get reconnected by keynoting the 2019 AME Lean Summit right here in your hometown.
Right here.
Love
in my hometown. Love
I think what's unique for me about AME, they're practitioner to practitioner.
Yes.
So everybody in here is trying to do something with their organizations, their leadership, their people, their work. And so it's everybody sharing that best practices across it. And it's really a unique organization in that way.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Really interesting organization to plug into, come out and connect with its members and its offerings. All right. So with this next question, so what you're speaking on, if you could give, and we talked about not even the Reader's Digest version, but a couple of bullet points, some of your main ideas that you're going to be sharing with the AME Lean Summit attendees here this week.
And Crystal. You want Crystal to go first?
Yeah, we're going to let Crystal.
Ladies first.
Definitely.
Awesome. So I have the good fortune of opening the breakfast keynote, which is at 6:15 in the morning. So it's an awesome challenge. However, I bring a lot of energy because I'm very passionate about my topic. The subtopic really of what I'm talking about is just-in-time coaching. But that subtopic comes under a main theme for me. In the lean world, we talk about lean leadership. And it is, it's the right thing to talk about, but from my viewpoint or purview, what I see is that people focus on those in leadership positions. Mm. And so I've shifted the wording, and my brand is Lead Lean, and the emphasis is on leading. So if we're able to identify what it means to lead at all levels in the organization, then we can develop leaders throughout the organization, not just those in leadership position. And that gives more freedom and flexibility, because if you teach me how to be a leader, now I can lead and problem solve within the confines of the boundaries or sphere of my control. That also, in turn, helps those in lean leadership positions, because now they aren't firefighting. They get to actually trust the process.
Right.
They can trust that people understand their role. They come into a job every day. In automotive, I used to work with people that worked for 43 years.
Wow.
How would I, as an engineer, disrespectful would it be for me as an engineer to come into an organization with people that work for 43 years and not ask them if they have improvement ideas?
I've done that.
Right? I have too.
Yeah.
I have too.
I've done that.
And so it's so powerful when you give people that autonomy and that responsibility, and then you coach them. The leader's role then shifts to coaching them on how to problem solve.
JIT coaching.
JIT coaching.
Just in time.
And for our listeners, well, yeah, thank you.
We trip over problems every day, right?
Yes. And for our listeners, as Mark, we always got to break through these acronyms. We have so many acronyms
in
manufacturing,
right?
Supply chain. But yeah, just-in-time coaching and lead lean.
Lead lean. Mm-hmm.
A lot of what you shared there, Crystal, seems to be a great force multiplier opportunity with your leadership style, because you not only are developing more leaders, but it helps you drive more change and make more progress and provide opportunities for others, right?
Absolutely.
Love it. All right, so Mark, same question to you. You're keynoting
at noon on Wednesday.
Okay.
So I've got lunch right after everybody's really almost about ready to go to sleep. I got. We drew. It was harder. Which
I
was
wake
harder, 6:45 or
he
noon?
Keeps him
I don't
awake.
Know. That's right.
I thought you were about to say you wake him up and he puts
him
to sleep.
No,
wait a minute.
I'm not going to say that.
The lean community's all uplifting and encouraging.
All uplifting and encouraging.
Yeah, got to give the Cards fan a little hard time.
That's right.
All right, so Mark, what are you? Give us a couple bullet points around what you're going to be sharing Wednesday.
Yeah, so I'm going to be talking about how to build a culture of courage. I think that, you know, when I think about what it takes to lead as a lean leader, to lead lean,
there you go.
I think that we sometimes miss the amount of courage that it takes to do that across the entire organization. You know, in the U.S., we are not taught to lead lean.
Yeah.
We're taught to lead in a control manner and to say, how much power do I have, and to hold on to that power. And so lean is really transformational in how it asks you to step out of your comfort zone as a leader and to be courageous in your leadership. One of the things that we'll talk about is gratitude and the role of gratitude in an organization and how that helps to grow courage. Because whenever you're thinking about what you're grateful for, you can actually start to think about, I can actually step into that more. It's courageous to be grateful, and you're thinking about other people. I think we talk a lot about humility and how much humility it takes to lead lean. And one of the things that's hard is humility is something that's hard to kind of grasp. Like how do you pursue it? But when you shift it to thinking about gratitude, you can practice that daily, and it's a behavior you can get into, and it develops the humility necessary to lead lean. The third thing is we'll talk about sharing. How do you share the best things about you? How do you share the improvements you're making with others? And how do you do that courageously? And then how do you encourage people? Mm. So encouragement just means to speak courage into other people. And really, lean leadership requires other people because it's courageous and it needs people encouraging. The reason I can't wait to wake up early and listen to Crystal is because I've had professional coaches in my life for the last 15 years. And those coaches have said something to me just beautiful in this idea of courage and encouragement. They've said, Mark, I know where you're going. You're afraid of going there. But I've been where you're going, and I'm not afraid. And I'll walk alongside you. And if you fall, I'll pick you back up. Mm. It's okay. I'm not going to walk the path for you, but I'm going to walk alongside you. And that's what coaching does. It's not what consulting does. You can coach through that. You can't tell someone to go across the path, but you can walk alongside them. And when they fall, you can pick them back up. And so I can't wait to learn from Crystal how just-in-time coaching works.
And absolutely.
I can't wait from you. I love your talk already.
Yeah, there's a lot of synergy between... and I can tell not just from what you just shared about your keynotes, but just in kind of your global perspective and how you view the world. So y'all should, I don't know if y'all have ever done it before, but co-presenting.
We should co-present. Yeah. I think it would be so fun. I thought we should do a little improvement and do it on Wednesday.
Absolutely.
That would be fun. That would be fast.
Well, really neat. So two excellent, I think, really interesting keynote presentations teed up for Wednesday, the breakfast session with Crystal Davis and then the lunch session with Mark Braun. All right, so moving kind of further out more broadly, what manufacturing trends have y'all been tracking more than others here recently? And Crystal, let's start with you.
So I actually am following a lot of the trends around this war on talent and talent development. And the 2018 PwC, which PricewaterhouseCoopers CEO study, revealed that a whopping 77% of CEOs don't feel that they have ready now people to step up into leadership. Mm. And that blew my mind.
It should. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so, you talk about this war on talent. You talk about the shifting dynamic of the industry 4.0. You talk about the dynamics of baby boomers taking a lot of tribal knowledge out of organizations, and you talk about the rapid pace of businesses and the change that they go through.
No time to wait.
Perfect storm, right?
Yeah.
And then 77% of CEOs don't feel like they have ready now people to step into leadership positions. So it's definitely in this world of continuous improvement, in this world of being lifelong learners, problem solvers, I think it's a perfect time that people with these skill sets can have the courage to step up.
And be coached along the way.
Coached along the way.
Right. Absolutely. It is a perfect storm. And that's a great report, that PwC report on talent. You can Google that and find that.
Yes.
Great, chock full of data. And that 77% figure is huge. You know, quick sidebar there. One of the things we're doing, Apex Atlanta is a sponsor here at Supply Chain Radio. And since November 2017, to attack that awareness side and the front end of that talent pipeline, we've been taking teams of volunteers in elementary schools and talk end-to-end supply chain with third, fourth, and fifth graders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not because middle schoolers and high schoolers and college students are not important, but we want to go upstream before they've kind of just determined what they're going
to
do.
Go to the source.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it has been so 42 sessions with over 100 volunteers, and we've engaged over 1,000 third, fourth, and fifth graders. And it has been, I think our volunteers have learned more, right?
Yes.
The kids are, it's so how interesting how quick they pick it up, and then they instantly try to apply it.
Yes.
And so in 10 minutes, they get what end-to-end supply chain is. You know, we get it. And here's why what y'all need to do better in supply chain. It's fascinating. But Supply Chain 101,
awesome.
We'd love to have y'all out to a future session.
That'd be great.
Awesome.
So, Mark, same question for you. You know, what are you tracking from an industry standpoint more than what trend more than others right now?
I think the key concept that manufacturing is not below you, that it's actually – what I've heard so much about is that automation is why manufacturing could be attractive, and I just want to get rid of that.
Yep.
Manufacturing is incredible because you get to make things, you get to create and problem solve all the time. We need to restore that glory and dignity to manufacturing, and I believe that the trend of manufacturing moving back onshore is a phenomenal idea and a trend that I want to see continue. It starts with our parents celebrating people that have creative skills in the making of things. We're going into the high schools and creating maker spaces. Have you heard of maker spaces?
No.
So if you think about the old tech shop, what it was is it's in the basement, and basically it's where the kids go that don't want to go somewhere else. That's how it's got categorized. Mm. And it's like, are you kidding me? How did that happen?
Mm.
And so we're creating maker spaces. We're doing it at Webster Groves High School, partnered with them to help them engage their students. And making creative spaces that people can use their hands and actually make things. And so it's really revitalizing the tech shop. Mm. It's the same thing. It's just right. that it's rebranding.
Taking the stigma off.
Oh, taking the stigma off. Yeah. Why would you stigmatize manufacturing? Mm. You know, the numbers, I'm going to get them wrong. But basically for every dollar of manufacturing that we improve our economy, it's $2.83 worth of total GDP growth. And if we think that it's just about offshoring manufacturing, which I know it's still not right now, we're not talking like that as much, but it still feels bad. Mm-hmm. If you're going into manufacturing, it's bad. It's like, no, it's good.
It's good.
And we're with you. You have to go upstream for that, the high schools, the grade schools, and get that mentality into the kids so that they break through their parents, because the parents are actually part of the problem, is they don't think that manufacturing is a great career to follow.
Mark, you're absolutely right. And you know, we're doing some work with the in Georgia, and they've rebranded it, but used to be for years the High Demand Career Initiative. And basically a state pulled together private sector, public sector, academia, you name it, of gathering around key industries like technology and healthcare and logistics and transportation to figure out how can we have a pipeline that can support that continued growth in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we went to one of the meetings I went to, the educators were talking about how some of the events they do isn't to reach the students, it's to get the parents to come in so that they can make sure that some of those old stigmas attached to certain industries and careers, they start to attack it, right? Mm-hmm. Because they are listening. You know, the parent is and should be the
driving
coach for the kids, right?
That's right.
Well, they've got their ego wrapped up into something about what the kid's going to be in the world, and it's beautiful if they can become problem solvers and creators in this world.
I still don't know what I want to be.
That's all right. I'm there with you.
Well, so this has been great. We could keep going until your keynote Wednesday morning, but real quick, let's let our listeners know how they can learn more about your respective organizations. And Crystal Davis, a Lean Coach, where can folks go to learn more?
Online, you can follow me on social at Crystal Y. Davis. And that's Crystal with a C, not Crystal like the burger. And then my website is The Lean Coach, Inc., I-N-C, that is, theleancoachinc.com.
Fantastic. Looking forward to your breakfast keynote Wednesday morning. And Mark Braun, how can folks learn more about you?
Yeah, so I think if they're interested in building a culture of courage, they can go to cambridge-eng.com and sign up for any of our Facebook or YouTube or LinkedIn areas. If they're interested in helping create comfortable working environments for their people, they can find it on that same website. So it's really a one-stop shop for either of their places.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Crystal and Mark, this has been fantastic. To our listeners again, we have been speaking with Crystal Davis, the Lean Coach, and Mark Braun, president of Cambridge Engineering in the St. Louis area of Missouri. And the name of that town again?
Yeah, one more thing. They can come see us. We've had over 3,000 visitors over the last 2 years tour Cambridge, and we'd love to have them come and bring their people with them and let them talk with our frontline folks, the people that actually create the value for the company, and that really helps to unlock and unleash the potential for them.
Love it. Really enjoyed the conversation. Crystal
Thank
and Mark,
you.
Thanks so much. We've got a slew of upcoming APEX classes. If you're looking to get your supply chain certification, CSCP, CLTD, boot camps at Georgia Tech, starting our next round is the week of June 24th. Supply Chain Now Radio are proud media partners of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. We're going to be broadcasting live there thanks to Becker Logistics. You can check them out at beckerlogistics.com. Be sure to check out other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, and other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, all the other leading sites where podcasts can be found. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of the entire Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you all the best. Stay tuned. Our next interview here from the 2019 AME Lean Summit is right around the corner. Thanks, everybody.